Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. We're grateful that you can join us for another episode here tonight. This is Thursday, October 4th, 2018. Time is moving on. We're grateful again for your support over the last 2 years or so. We look to have our co-host, Pastor Ricky Waller, to join us here shortly. But most importantly, it's important for you to know, especially if you're just tuning in to us for the first time, Talk Straight is a national podcast show that is designed to reach a national audience, particularly urban American communities and listeners, to talk about some of the issues that are confronting our neighborhoods and our communities and urban America. We know that it is changing drastically. And really the definition of what it means, what urban means, is taking on a new mantra, if you will. So we understand that it's important that we recognize that things are not quite as they always have been, and it's time and necessary for us all to advance ourselves in a way that we can keep up with the new challenges that we're facing, new and old challenges, I should say, that we've been facing. So having said that, let me invite you to give us a call here at 657-383-0944. That's the number directly in the studio here. It's 657-383-0944. If you're on Facebook watching us live stream, feel free to post your question or your comment and share with us in that way. We'll be happy to involve you in the conversation. I apologize for our live stream. We've been having some issues with, I'm not sure what the deal is, but our connection, but I think we're okay now. Nonetheless, we shall go on. So for our new listeners, you've heard the website, www.bfcinstitute.com. It's where you can learn more about our nonprofit efforts, BFC Missions Incorporated, and what we are aiming to do here relative to the show here. Alrighty. So let's do this. We're going to begin with our monologue, and then we will open up our phone lines. I see Pastor Ricky Waller has joined us already. He'll be with us tonight. He and I are going to tag team. And I'll share with you more details about that in just a second. All right, but for now, let us get to our monologue. So a major concern for most in urban America is the out-of-control street violence that we see in major cities like Chicago, unfortunately, Baltimore, Maryland, oftentimes in Detroit and the larger cities where there are large populations of people in urban areas, okay, big cities. And right here in Nashville, Tennessee, as the, quote, it city, unquote, grows, we see more challenges and issues socially with crime and things of that nature, okay? So from that prism, we speak. And there's concern, naturally. The frustration of many people is the fact that there seems to be no answer to a very important question, and that is, why are so many people angrily violent? What's making them so mad? Now, during this episode, what we intend to do is to offer a response to that question. What is it that's behind all of this frustration, this anger, this will to destroy, you know? Well, what's the deal? What's the deal? Well, Pastor Waller and I and our guests tonight that are on air with us, we're going to try to offer some kind of answer. And I hope that when you go back and review the show later, you'll be able to gain something from our conversation. The topic is how to stop street violence in urban America. How to stop street violence in urban America. Looking at the statistics and the data, we know that just by mere numbers, African Americans make up only about 13.5% of the total American population. So naturally, you're going to have more crimes that are engaging other ethnic groups, particularly the dominant group, and that's white. But in reality, when you look at it in comparison to that subgroup, the question is, why is it such disproportionately prevalent, right? Well, we're going to talk about how to stop it. Now, does that mean because what we're saying is going to stop it? Well, the hope is that our words don't fall totally on deaf ears and that somebody is able to benefit from what we're saying. That's our hope. That's certainly my hope. That's my prayer. All right? With that, let's get to it. Matthew's the 26th chapter, 50th through the 52nd verse reads in this manner. It says, and Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear, cut his ear off. My. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into its place. All they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. You heard that phrase, live by the sword, die by the sword. Now, interestingly enough, that text brings us to our conversation. What makes you want to grab a weapon and go to war? Anyone who is concerned about the epidemic of violence that manifests itself throughout urban America must bring themselves to grip with the reality of the root cause, the whys and the hows for that violence, okay? And in reality, if you are not honest, it's going to be impossible for you to be able to deal with it. And you got a lot of loud noise out there. A whole lot of people bumping their gums about this and about that. So when you tell them what you really need to do is to get down to the nitty-gritty and dirty with those most violent people. That's when they clam up. They back up and clam up a wall on you. Ain't real then, right? The apparent lack of resources, opportunities, and fairness across the board, we're going to find, is a major driving force for violence. In fact, Dr. King said, when a man feels as though his voice is not heard, and I may be paraphrasing this a little, he's prone to act out in violence. Everybody else happy around you, and you can't eat? No, no, no. That ain't right. Something ain't right about that. There is a Robin Hood mentality. This is me. This is me saying this. This is action. Robin Hood mentality. You know, Robin Hood was known as the fella that stole from the rich, gave to the poor. He became the man. Then he was the big man on the block. You understand what I'm saying? Well, in the hood, in urban America, yeah, this is Talk Straight, so y'all just bear with me as I talk straight, okay? In the hood, in the cut, there's a Robin Hood mentality. In other words, committing is okay as long as it can be justified by the thought I'm looking out for me and mine. Here's only one problem with that in urban American neighborhood. People that you offend against, that you commit the crime against, that you harm, you rob, you steal from, and you even take lives, are your own people. Many times they're too afraid to go outside of their bubble, circle of influence. You see more of it now. These young kids, they ain't no rules to the game now. they straight off the chain, right? Now, somehow they've learned to break out of that bubble. But generally speaking, most of the times, the one you hurt the most are those that live closest to you. This is what's wrong, this mentality, this epidemic of street violence in urban America. I just briefly want to talk to you about what drives that violence. And we've shared this in the previous show, but I'm just going to reiterate it very briefly. There are a few things that drives, that lead to violence. And you know that you're going to ultimately have it when these ingredients are present. One, when you see a young cat that is in fear, or an old person. The presence of anger is an indication of fear. When you're angry, and you're just furious, most of the time you don't even know why. It's out of fear. It stems from the concern that I may be harmed, I may lose something, or that I might be in peril. The actions to this fear and this emotional state are often being isolated, right? Or not doing very much with other people. Kind of hiding out. Fight and flight. And this is something I was talking to some young brothers about just the other day as I was out campaigning. I understand why it is they take the pose that if I feel like you're threatening me, I'm going to either fight or I'm gonna run. This is more so with law enforcement. They don't trust them, and they feel as though they're a threat to them. Part of that is the media is promoting that narrative. Some of it is such that because of their social orientation and activity, they often are doing things that bring police to their neighborhood and bring heavy police patrolling and things of that nature. And it does cause some breakdown. And I see where there are instances where they're trying to deal with that, all right? But what my point is that fight and flight is one of the indications of fear. Then there's this anxiety. The more fear that builds up and the longer you stay in the state of fear, you become anxious, nervous, uneasy, jumpy, itchy, right? Having apprehension about your environment and what's going on, fearing misfortune, or making a mistake, being very uneasy. The longer this goes, it leads to depression. As I said earlier, nervousness, being fidgety, and then leads you to thinking irrationally because your perception is that something is after me. So there's this paranoia. Hence, that decision, I might as well go pop on somebody before they pop on me. In other words, I'm going to become violent. I'm going to kill before you kill me. And something about this day and time where these little guys are so afraid, they can't fight and don't know how to manage themselves, so the easiest way to protect themselves in their mind is to grab a weapon. And some of them are so cowardly that they roll up and sneak up on somebody else with a drive-by, right? Hence the violence. You know what happens to violence. What's the end result of violence? That's driven by your fear and ignorance, unawareness, death, bodily injury, harm. I'm sick and tired of the devil getting two for one. One young cat locked up when they catch him, and another one is physically dead because of some little young brother. I'm tired of that. I want to bring an end to that. You understand what I'm saying? When we acknowledge this reality, we're in a better position to stop the street violence. If you don't acknowledge that, you're not willing to, and you want to go political, and you want to be cute and pretty, guess what? You become a part of the problem. But Malcolm said, if you're not part of the solution, you've got to be part of the problem. Now, Pastor Waller and I are in this 6x6 room with Christopher Noel Dorsey, also known by his rap name as BG. Little cat from out of New Orleans, Louisiana, and born 1980, about 38 years old now. But he speaks the language of the streets. And what he's really trying to do is to convince people that he is in a better position than what he actually is. He's scared, and he's running scared, but he wants you to believe he's in charge. Listen to him just for a second, because this is what we're dealing with in the 6x6 room, and this is what is taken from the room to the streets. Listen to him just for a second. BG, chill or BG.
If you ain't no way, somebody here, think about me. Nothing fake, nothing flawed, nothing bitch about me. I've been running these streets since a youngin', since 14. I've been bugging, saying, he ain't nothing. You won't be based up. Get it? I ain't tripping. What's wrong? Just know you better let me get you tripping, cuz. Whatever we need, I'ma smash you. Draw a day around the club, I'ma eat at you. If you let me back down, only make it. I guarantee that it's gonna be a close casket about this. What's understood? Don't need to be explained. For the money or the fame, I'm just in the game. And when I tell you about me and my background, about me and my lifestyle, I ain't never backed down. I ain't never froze up. I ain't never turned state. I ain't never missed when I just put you up a case. Whatever you want it, nigga, you can get it.
All right, that's enough for that. That's enough for that. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your old Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and we are talking from the topic tonight, how to stop street violence in urban America. Pastor Ricky Wallace with us. He's going to help me deal with BG, Mr. Dorsey. And 8112 is here, and 1098. I know we got backup, but Pastor. Greetings, guys. Welcome to Talk Straight tonight.
Hello.
Hey, hey. Pastor Wall, you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, what do you say that, Pastor?
All right, all right, all right. Outcast, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing okay, but I want to compliment first on the little rap music you play.
Yes, sir.
All he's trying to do is get him. All he's trying to do is get over a million fellas to stack his pocket. You know,
that's correct.
He spreads garbage, you know what I'm saying, that sound good, and he buy his doo-doo and he stack his pocket.
Yeah.
know, I mean, that's what it is. Now, It City, now, I will listen to your monologue to my Nashville It City. It's going to become like the state of Detroit, state of Michigan.
Wow.
No, Motor City. Well, I'm going to take the whole state of Michigan. You know, Motor City, building the cars, so a lot of people wanted to go to Michigan, especially where they were building cars and things of that nature. But guess what? It collapsed, didn't it? Nashville collapsed, too. See, this is what people don't study economics, you know. Whether it be black or white. White people are already up on it, but these Negroes, oh, they way behind. You know, they building all this stuff up here in Nashville, but guess what they're going to do? Nashville, Tennessee, in the next 10 to 20 years, collapse. And black folk going to be back up here taking over again. Repercussions. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
In
okay.
City.
Okay.
Y'all. Doodoo City. No.
Wait. It don't sound like you like what's going on. Okay, all right. Pastor Wallen? Don, how you doing? Hold on, Pastor, 1 second. Don, how you doing out of Selma, Alabama?
Hey, I was seeing you all go live on Facebook, and I was going to say something to you, Mr. Dockery. I want you to be real clear. Brenda Gilmore and Rose Sanders, which is Hank Sanders, all of them hooked up, Doc. Let's be clear.
There you go.
And what you're talking about, the dynamic of the song, is actually, like you said, it's actually happening. Racial. I see it clear here in Selma, too, and I know it's in Nashville because we got a culture of young folks that's off into that. But the young folks that's in the culture need to understand their nationality. And that operation that the certain powers that be that's behind those certain politicians that have that type of culture need to move ahead and become industrial and business people.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Thank
Hold
you,
one
Don.
Second.
May I speak?
Hold 1 second. Give me 1 second. Let me recognize a new caller that's joined the conversation. And I did want to bring Pastor Waller out because that's where our conversation going tonight. I want to begin with this guy, BG. And I like what you. I like the way you framed it, Outcast. I'm gonna come right back to you, Doc. Give me a second. There. And I think that's Brother Rich, 0390. How you doing, sir?
Doing real good, Doc. How you doing?
Mighty fine. Just bear with me, my brother. Just bear with me. We're about to get into this topic of how to stop street violence in urban America. Outkast, he was right over the target. I don't blame BG. Pastor Waller, come on in with me. I don't blame BG, Outkast, because BG is doing what the American way is, and that's to make money the best way you can, right? And guess what,
right.
Outkast? Guess what? They have monetized the death and destruction of brothers against brothers. That's been monetized through rap music and things of that nature. Here's where we have to look at it. We have to ask ourselves, do we really want to fix the problem or do we want to play games with it? You understand what I'm
well,
saying?
Well, you know, okay, how we fix the problem. Now, I like what Don said, Brenda Gilmore and her daughter. See, politics, you know, and I'm going to go back to Jesse Jackson. You know, Jesse Jackson, he was in politics. His son got in politics, but guess what? They locked his son up, stealing money.
Yeah, they did.
What about Jesse Jackson's brother? You know what I'm saying? That was up in Chicago doing that crap, and he in prison. See, they need to, when it comes to politics, politics should not be a family business. You know, look at the Bushes. Look at them. Look at the Clintons. It shouldn't be a family business. Let's go back in time to the Lincolns and all them, the Washingtons and things of that nature. The politics should not be a family business. Now, I like what Don said, and he hit on the money. Brenda Gilmore and her daughter, Erica, she got a degree in what? English. And then she want to run in politics, and she got ran up on the bus by trying to bring all this crap up here in Nashville. All right. Look at Jesse Jackson's son stealing money and his wife. It shouldn't be a family business.
You make a good point.
And I'm a hoe.
You make a good point. You make a good point. And okay, we'll come back to that.
And I'm gonna bring it on in.
Okay. I'm glad you're here with us because if we look across urban America, I think that your point is well taken, and it hinges on this fact. When you look at how money is coming in, how it's being used, and I'm talking about government-based resources, how it's being used and the domino effect it has on the people it was intended for. That's a great point. Hold on, though. Y'all fired up already, man. Pastor Wilder, come on, man. They're going to take off before the train moves, man. Pastor Wilder?
It's hard for me to talk about anybody that's in the hustle game, you know, especially when I came from that. You know,
I would say, talking about how to stop the violence.
You know what I mean? And you're talking about how to stop it. You know, and the thing about what it takes to stop it, you have to get down to the solution. And if there is a solution to the problem, of course, you know, it's something that can be done about it. But if there's no solution, then quite naturally, there's nothing that can be done about it. So what I like
That's
to say
right.
is that
you can't stop it, but you can slow it down. You can't stop it, but you can slow it down.
Right.
You get you
right,
one people, that. Two people, three children, four children. You can slow it down, but you can't stop it.
All right, hold on 1 second.
Only God can stop it, but you can slow it down.
All right, hold on, Outcast. Hold on. Let him finish this out, and we're going to bring that in because I got 8:12 I want to ask, too.
There's a scripture that says, is anything too hard for God?
And so
if I believe that scripture, then I believe it can be stopped. It's just like this here. Okay, I was in the game. And I stopped.
Okay.
I didn't start
okay.
back. See, it's easy to
right.
stop, but how can you stay stopped? And that's the thing.
Okay.
One person at a time, you know, if you learn how to stay stopped, then you're in good shape. Because to stop and to go back into it, that means you stopped. You know, you went back into it the next day. You stopped and went back into it the next day or the next week or the next month or the next year. But if you learn how to stay stopped, that's the solution to the problem. Because Luke chapter 1, verse 37 says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. So if that holds to be true, then in our hood, I'm talking about in our hood. I'm not even talking about in America. I'm talking about in the hood now. I'm not even going to get with that so they can do what they want to do. But I'm talking about the people that I'm concerned about is in the hood, the people who are being misused, mistreated, misguided. You know, all those people who actually have gifts and talents and all those things that they have and can utilize it in a positive way only.
Yeah.
Now, that's only
now
if the solution is being out there rendered. See, the solution is not flowing. It's not flowing out there like it should because the people are standing inside the church house with this pretty Bible, looking good and everything. But what's on the inside of the Bible is this, Pastor, and I'm going to turn it back over to you. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God in the pulling down of strongholds. So it's only a stronghold. That's all it is when they're gunning each other down. And what are they gunning each other down for? For the love of money. You know, it's the root of all kind of evil. So I believe it can be stopped. And if I didn't believe it could be stopped, I wouldn't even be out there toiling like I'm doing it because I know it'd be defeating the purpose. You see what I'm saying? I defeat the purpose. I don't believe that it can be stopped. I mean, whether it's stopped or not, I believe it can be stopped. That's what I stand on.
All right. I'm going to offer everybody something for your consideration, okay, in terms of how you can stop it. Now, the premise of that outcast is that it can be stopped, but consider it.
No, it's not going to be stopped. All you can do is slow it down. Only God, Now, I'm talking about God. Only God can stop it. As humans, we can do is slow it down.
Let's examine that for a second, if that's okay. I'm glad that's where you are, because that's what we need to examine. That's really what we need to examine is how did it get started. See, when you understand how it got started, I don't want to be too mundane, but it's simple like this. If you know that bleach will destroy your insides if you ingest it. The solution to protecting your insides from bleach is to what? Don't drink it. That sounds real simple, don't it? That sounds real simple, mundane. Now, but watch this. Watch this. When we understand why it is those that are prone to be violent are, and this is where guns come into play right here, and that is there are motivating. There's a wind. There's something pushing them out there to it. These little young cats are on the snatch and grab because ain't nobody taught them about how to establish and develop themselves in a positive, productive way where they're making contributions, so they got to get it the way they live. They got to hustle. Oftentimes they find themselves in a position where they have to be an adult at a young age because they ain't got nothing else. Now, why is that relevant? Why is that relevant? And this is what I was pointing out. The fear that I described in the monologue comes from not knowing. That don't make them a bad person. They're just unaware of how to properly assert themselves in society. Now, it's money it's money being spent. I'm going to come right to you. It's politicians, they're preachers, and they're other people who are nonprofit owners or directors and business people. They say they have the answer or the solution, but we can't see over the years. We haven't seen no change. The war on poverty, the war on drugs, all these national initiatives, and we still got the same issue. Go ahead, Outcast. What are we going to say?
But Reverend Docker, a lot of some of these children that are out there doing what they're doing, they come from good homes. And they sneak out and they do what they do and they get caught.
Right.
You know, now, at the end of the day, you know, like you, Reverend Waller, myself, all we can do, we are not God. We cannot wave our hands at seat. All we can do is try to slow it down. All we can try to do is grab in the people that we can grab in and send them to another direction other than the destructive direction that they're in.
You know, we can't do that. You're trying to get me in trouble, Outcast. Because you know what you know what I said? You've heard my response to that, Outcast. If I did exactly what it took to save them, they put me in jail. And the charges would be...
I do understand that. Yes, sir.
And all I'm saying is, with the right leadership, we can create the environment by which we can really save them. That's what's missing.
Okay,
I'm going
to go back to Don on this.
Okay,
I'm gonna
go
politics. I'm gonna go now. I'm gonna go back to Don on this. He made a good point here in Nashville. You got Brenda Gilmore. You got Erica Gilmore, and I'm gonna go up there in Chicago, and I'm gonna get you know who is his son.
You know what I'm saying?
Jesse Jackson and his son. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And Jesse Jackson's brother. When you do background checks, what are you paying attention for? See,
let's expand it. Then.
I mean, even with the Bushes, it shouldn't be a family affair, but this goes way back down in the early 1900s or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Politics shouldn't be a family affair.
It shouldn't be a family affair.
Now, Don was on the money with that.
Right.
And
well, let's
shut
expand.
Up. Where's 3112?
Okay, gentlemen, Doc, I think it's time for, you know, to go on and, you know, and instead of nitpicking at their chicken, you know how sometimes people take their fingers and kind of, instead of biting into the meat because they want to look so, they want to use their etiquette. You know, sometimes etiquette will get to places, but in this conversation, you got to get down on their chicken and eat it. As if you don't care if your hands get greasy. Now let me go on and say this, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but I sat here for maybe close to 7 or 8 minutes, just twitching in my seat because it sounds like to me, all right, so we say we believe in God. That's what a lot of us know the past, and I'm not questioning whether or not we believe in God. Okay, that's not what I'm doing.
Make your point.
Okay, here's my point. Everybody wants to live, but nobody wants to die. We got to start teaching our children as well as ourselves survival skills. That's one. For two, we have to govern our own. Okay? That's two. For three, we need to start growing our own food, making these churches the financial institution. And if these preachers in these churches are not willing to go downtown and tell the government, hey, look, take me off of that tax expedition or whatever they do, because when it's laws that are being passed, guess what? The preacher, he can't say nothing. Why? Because he got a tax cut. That's why. Now, I couldn't go deeper, but you know what? I'm going to let somebody else speak now. I'm ready. Come on with it.
Guys, I'm listening to your position. But if y'all will allow me, I'd like to bring everything back around so that we can have some continuity to our conversation. I was being rude to 8112 because I told her I was coming to her, and I ain't got to her yet. I'm sorry, 81.
Get
you. Will you forgive me,
8112? Yes, I do. Actually, I found the conversation interesting, and for once, I was quiet. I was trying to wrap this up. I'm not going to lie.
There you go.
Wow, it is what it is, but everybody, we all feel passionate in our own different way about everything that's going on with these young folks. Someone told me four or five guys stupid enough to record them shooting police down.
Oh!
And I mean, my heart felt something different, so... With that being said, I say temptation. Now they figure they got the law on the run. And I'm going to be a firm believer to say I know all police ain't good from personal experience and ain't going there. But all of them ain't bad either.
There you go.
Okay, it's a flip side of coin on that one. Now, you're working to help protect people. Most of them.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever the reasons may be, yes, it's horrible. I also agree with what Ludacris said. I also agree with what you, I mean, not Ludacris. I'm so sorry. I wrote the name down his hand.
That's okay.
But my point is, it started a long time ago.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It still is what it is. It's about different reasons, money. And it's also about some of them have had good upbringing. Some of them have been raised in the best of families. Even some of the preacher kids go do the devilment they do.
That's interesting. You're the second. Hey, 8112, I'm going to let you finish. You're the second person that brought that up, that they come from decent homes. I want to address that, but go ahead and finish your talk.
Okay. So that means... I mean, some of them just do what they do for whatever their reasons may be, and we would never, ever figure all this out. I don't even try to. If I can help somebody along the way, that's what I do. And if you want to be that little jerk, think you know more than me, and maybe you do about the streets, because I'm not in the streets like that. Never have been. And so, therefore, it's time for me to tell you, I don't need you in my company. But I want to see you do better for yourself. So if they choose not to, it's about decisions also. Temptation is something else now.
Yeah.
Temptation is a mother. That's what got Lucifer cast into the, got his hell. That's what got his hell, because he got so tempted, he thought he could outpower God.
All right.
Now, I know my mama raised me the right way. And my daddy was a bishop. So, therefore, it is what it is. We can keep working like you guys are doing so hard, and that's wonderful. Everybody got their own opinion about different things, and that's fine. But as long as you stay together as a team, You're pulling somebody. Y'all done pulled me in on the conversation, so, and I'm 54 years old, so I know good and well y'all might be able to pull a few of these kids in there. And each and every time, as Pastor Wallace said, if I make no mistake, once you get a few of them in there, a few of them know them, so they're going to go tell the other ones.
All right. So, okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. Now watch this, guys. I've heard that said a couple of times. Even good children go bad and do it, so you can't stop it. Consider this. A young lady asked me, she says, I thought you were a preacher, and I don't understand why you always playing rap music and rhythm and blues and things like that. I thought preachers don't do that. So I said to her, I am a preacher, a prognosticator of the gospel, but I'm also a social scientist. In fact, when I did my doctoral studies, American Cancer Society certified me to use human subjects in research experiments. Okay? Now, why did I say that? Why do I say that? I'm saying that to say that as a social scientist, I studied the root cause of this problem with street violence, okay? And I've discovered that there's a correlation between not only the music, but the clothes, as well as those things that are encouraged in certain neighborhoods and certain social settings that link to violence. Young cats wouldn't sell drugs if apples were popular to sell, and you can make money selling them like you sell drugs. Guess what? Them little fellas will be out there selling apples. They're doing it because there is a reward connected to it. Are y'all walking with me? What I'm saying to you is, we've got to change the reward for the behavior that we see. See, it's money being made in criminality, in the criminal justice system. And the honest truth is that we can tell our children. Now, unfortunately, some of them have got too old that it's hard to get them to change their way. And some of them just got to go lay down. You don't do the crime if you can't do the time, okay? Someone got to go left.
Right.
But for these young shorties out here, don't give
Preach
up
on
them. Sometimes you got to take your hand and open it wide and spank that booty and get their
You ain't done. That was one of the worst.
Let me ask you something.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I like to just kind of share something. You know, I still go back to when you talk about what the Word of God is saying. Now, it's one said that only God can do a certain thing. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Now, so to include him would be outstanding, I would say. And what I said was, nothing less than, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. The question was asked, is there anything too hard for God? So the key to the matter in being able to stop a situation or a thing that can be stopped, because that's what you asked. You said how to stop. How to stop. You didn't say that it was going to stop or it wasn't going to stop. You said how to stop. And the thing is, I said I couldn't knock nobody or put nobody down because I came from that, and you're not going to tell me to stop doing something if you don't have no good information, because I'm lost, I'm ignorant, I'm unlearned, I don't know how to do it, but this is what I know how to do. I know how to get out from my grits, and I get the money, you understand, by any means necessary, because that was a lifestyle. But when a man came out of a church house and brought forth some good information to me, which wasn't but a few words, asking me to come to church, that's the few words that he brought. That was his starting point. I said I'd be up there one day. I didn't go that week after. I didn't go that month after. He came back again and say, still waiting. I said, I'll be up there. But make a long story short, years went by. I finally went. And the things that I used to do, I don't do it anymore, meaning I stopped. So if I stop, and if I can help somebody else stop, and then they can help somebody else stop, and all of a sudden, just like people got started on the whatever they're doing out there, they have to learn how to get started on stopping. And that's something that can be done. It can be done through God. God is the key, and that's what the churches, the people that are in them buildings, are not doing. They're not coming out. So
inside of the church and do what's supposed to be done. I'm going to turn it back over to you with this. The word still says, go out into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So those ones that you're talking about, the violence, those are the people that he's talking about because it was designed for it not to never stop. That's the system. The system don't want nobody to get free or to stay free because they have to shut down the jailhouses, the penitentiaries, and everything. You know, so it's up to the people to go to the hood, to our neighborhood, and to bring back the peace, the joy, the freedom, togetherness, and all those things that can be done with God. You know, and that's the key to it. I mean, there's no opinion. I'm not coming with an opinion. I'm coming with what the Word says because I don't like to do my opinion because I might be wrong. I might be right. But the Word of God is always right. Always right. Okay. So I like to stand on the Word of God and let the Word of God do His thing.
But, Pastor, may I interrupt for a moment, please? Just one moment. Yes. I ain't going to talk too much.
Go ahead. Don, I'm coming right to you, brother.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm listening.
I'm talking about Don in Selma, Alabama. Don Beverly.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead, 8112.
I mean, even though people do what they do, true story, a lot of us need guidance in a lot of different ways.
That's right.
We all at some point, some way, some with two parents, some without two parents. As some of these kids, they just don't get the gang no love. They weren't lying. They don't have no love for themselves. So do you think they going to listen to you? Some of them get forced into some of these things, and they know nothing about what they talking about. They just reacting.
Okay.
Reacting.
That's
and
true.
It's hard because it's hard for people like yourselves to do what you're doing because you're trying to reach out. As it was stated earlier, this has been going on for so long. It's just in a different year, in a much, much harsh fashion. The police now, the government took the rights for parents to spank their children, which we used to get paddling in school. Because the teacher was your teacher for 8 hours of the day when your parent wasn't present. But that don't give nobody right to beat no child.
No. Not abuse.
I personally, I was raised barely riding sport a child. Oh, my goodness. But it didn't kill me. It didn't kill my kids. I slapped a pistol. I slapped one of them in the police station. He in the junkyard breaking in the car. So what? Now I got to drag your brothers and sisters down here to the police station? Are you kidding me? I jumped up like I was 6 feet tall. And he was. And I slapped him. And he's deceased. And God rest his soul. You know I ain't lying. Now, that's what you did. I don't work. Worked all these hours. Are you kidding me? No. So it is what it is.
Right.
Parents are not some, God forgive me, some parents, because they didn't know they self did, and even if they did, they chose their lifestyle to the point where some in their family, they just shut down and don't care how to do it. To help these babies. And they need help.
I get you.
Yes, sir.
I get you. Let me see. Don, you there, brother?
Yes, I am.
All right. So let me say this, Don. I am a person that over the last 25 years or so here in Nashville, I've been a citizen, a resident of Tennessee, in Nashville, Davidson County. I've seen a lot, and I've done a lot. And I've complained a lot, Don, about elected officials all the way down to our council district, okay? And I've said things that should be done or could be done. And the Almighty told me, Doc Reed, if you got all the answers and you ain't willing to go and put yourself in a position to bring the change you say need to happen in terms of leadership, you're a hypocrite.
Ooh.
Are you walking with me, Don?
Mm-hmm.
Now, watch
this.
People keep talking about it take a village to raise a child, right? Well, let me offer you an explanation of what the African village concept was in the Sankofa community, all right? The elders, old men, would take young males starting at 13 and train them Why did they use 13? Because that was the age where the oogonia became spermatogonia. Okay? In other words, they can get somebody pregnant. They taught them how to build a hut and how to be a husband and a provider for a family and the community. Are y'all walking with me? Here's what we don't have in urban America.
I heard that. They
what
taught
we don't
them.
Have in urban America is a situation where black men are controlling the neighborhood and their community, and these little boys are looking to them for guidance. That's what the elders did. They sat under sycamore trees, and they taught the young cats how to be warriors. In fact, they took them out to the wilderness, Don, and they taught them to kill the wildebeest. They could not come back in until they took that wildebeest tail and made a spear out of it and brought it back to the community to show that I'm ready. And guess what they got as a reward when it came back, Don? They came back to the community. Mm. They would have 100 girls jumping and dancing, doing a war dance, saying, yeah, I can be yours. I can be yours. I'm ready. I know you're ready. You can be a man. You can take care of me and my baby. Are y'all walking with me?
Rebuttal.
See, that's how we stop this mess. We have to control the socioeconomic dynamics of our neighborhood and our family. I don't care what nobody else says in government. If you don't do that, guess what? Santa Claus, Jesus Christ, Superman, or the Easter Bunny ain't going to do it for you.
Amen.
Rebuttal.
Talk to me, Don, from Selma. Talk to me, Don, from Selma.
That's true, Mr. Dockery, but you got to have a community that's willing to do that. I'm going to say
that's
again, when I came up, that part where you went to my mother's community, those African-American men were together. That's how they accumulate their land on the north part of Dixon County. Now, the people in Nashville, they have to make the decision that they want to control that fifth congressional district. See, you know, it's strange to me that we done had an African-American president, but Nashville never had a congressman out of it because they always see themselves as slaves in Nashville. They got Andrew Jackson plantation-type thing going on in Nashville. I don't know what's wrong with it. It done happened all over the country except for Nashville. Andrew Jackson owned a plantation, and you got to make up in your mind that you're ready to come off of that plantation. And can I tell you something, Nashville? Andrew Jackson's child is right down there in the north part of Dixon and Cheatham County. He's Catholic, and they got a mechanism set up there in Nashville. That same mechanism that's set up in Nashville is set right down here in Selma. Don't think it ain't. And like you said, Mr. Dockery, I'm going to say this to you, Mr. Dockery. Hold on, let me slow down. We was never taught political organization or political education. Jesse don't know it. John Lewis don't know it, and the only reason I know it, because I was in the house around my dad. He was the strategist of that movement, so I see it clear. There's no political organization or education going on in our community, and we have to admit that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You better know what to say to me, Don. You better know what to say to me. Now, here's the truth of the matter. If you don't control the economics, you don't control the education. I'm not just talking about somebody standing before somebody calling himself teaching. I'm talking about the content of what you're teaching. You don't control the politics, and you don't control the social elements of your culture. You just somewhere. You don't own no community. And that's what we have to understand. The way you do that is you orientate yourself. You got to be educated, and you got to be organized in order for you to be mobilized. Now, I love my people. I love my people. But too many of us have not taken advantage of the opportunity to do just what this brother's talking about, educating ourselves to the things we need to know. I'm not saying you got to be a political science scholar. I'm not suggesting that. But you need to know some things about who, what, when, why, so that when you cast a vote, and I hope you do vote, you don't throw it away. That's why a lot of people don't want to vote, because they feel like it's thrown away. Well, the truth of the matter is we need to be organized, but first you need to be aware of what the issues are and what the opportunities you need to go after. And from there you choose the right person to lead you. I told the old lady Outcast, if I make it to the Senate and I don't do right, you bring your cane. I sure am.
She ain't waiting on my chance to speak.
Okay, go ahead, Outkast. You got the flow now, bro.
I'm waiting now. You know, I mean, when you were talking about Africa, you were talking about the villages, and you were talking about the wildebeest. Let me tell you something. Maasai love.
Okay.
No, wildebeest, that's a weak animal. You go with the lion. Maasai, they fight lions. A wildebeest, that's a weak animal. You know what I'm saying? But depending on what tribe you was in, yeah, you go for the wildebeest. But no, it's the lion. It's the king of the jungle. Even today, it's lion.
Okay.
You know, wildebeest, weak. You know, different tribes, you know, they go on different things over in Africa. But it didn't take a village to raise my children. I raised my children. Raised. It didn't take my mother, my father, my sister, my uncle. They were my children. I reared them in my care. Take the village to raise a child. I disagree. A wildebeest, that's a weak animal. Go
hold
to
on one
Africa.
Second,
go to the Maasai now. You know?
Hold on one second.
Let me say one more thing. All right. Let me be quiet.
No, I follow what you're saying. I want to draw the comparison between the wildebeest and the lion. Okay? So the elders understood that for a 13-year-old, a lion would be too complex of an animal to overcome. Okay? Because there are certain traps you have to set for the lion. However, you can go face to face with a wildebeest, and because of your intelligence, you can overcome the 13-year-old could, I'm saying. And what they understood is that this was a demonstration of the 13-year-old's courage and their ability to act on their courage to overcome. It was an age-appropriate challenge for the 13-year-old. The lion is not an age-appropriate challenge. So you can't set these young cats up to fail. That's another thing, Pastor Wallace. We got to know what they're capable of and give them appropriate challenges for them to master. And sometimes you got to shadow them out, Cat. You got to be right there with them just in case they slip and fail. You be right there to pull them up.
Okay.
I'm going to go back to the Maasai
and what's going on in Africa today. They tell them lions. They don't tell them wildebeest. Wildebeest travel. You know what I mean? You know,
yes, they
lions stay in one spot waiting on the prey. They got to challenge them lions. Wildebeest, they following the rain. They following you know what I'm saying? They following the rain. You know what I'm saying? But when you in a certain area, if you have to deal with lions, you're going to deal with lions. Wildebeest travel. Lions are not travelers. They don't go with the same things and things in nature. It depended upon what part of Africa you were in.
If you're a Maasai,
you got to challenge them lions. Wildebeest is no problem because the wildebeest are finding rain and they're trying to get to that fresh shooting grass. See, this is something that they don't teach. Wildebeest travel. Lions stay in one place. They don't travel.
I was going to ask you, where were the lions most indigenous? Where were they most indigenous? And to your point, they are more sedentary than the wildebeest are. However, when you look at when you look at the various tribes and chiefdoms throughout the continent we call Africa today, of course, we know it wasn't originally called Africa for the original people, but that's a whole other story. That's a whole other show. When you look at it anthropologically and you look at it sociologically, you understand that, again, my whole point is that these elders understood in these tribes, and these are the tribes that were most successful with developing young boys to men, historically.
What part of Africa, though? The Maasai, the Maasai, they fight lions. Wildebeest, they are going on. They are fighting lions 365 days a year. Lions don't.
All right, hold on. Hold on one second.
The lion will eat the hell out of a wildebeest.
So as not to be to stay there too long, Outkast, I'll say this now in that conversation. I'll say that in that conversation there. Your point is true in the southern region of Africa, where you had the Mandinka warriors, and you had Mandinka and the name slips me now. It'll come back to me in just a second. But my point is that, yes, there are various areas that have indigenous animals and so forth. Then I'm getting feedback from you, so I'm just going to silence you until we come back to you, okay? That's Don and Selma.
Yeah, that's me.
Okay. We're getting some of your feedback there. So it's good right
all
now.
All right.
But let me bring the conversation back around to how to stop street violence in urban America. Because ain't no lions in urban America but black folk. Those only animals that are killing folk there. And what we got to do is to take that animalistic drive out of them and bring the humanity out of them. And I'm saying that I agree with you and Pastor Waller. It's through God that he's going to do it. Now, God ain't going to come from heaven and do it. He's going to use us. That's what he sent us here for. In fact, he told his disciples, I go away, but greater works are you going to do? That's on you. That is our task and our assignment. Now, if we are derelict in our duties, guess what? The problem will continue. Now, what I'm saying is, I want to go back just for a second to what I was sharing with you all in the monologue, and that is the progression of violence. If I don't tell you anything else, I want you to leave with this thought. Where it stems from, if you dig deep and you go to the root of it, it comes out of ignorance and not knowing that it manifests through fear, anxiety, and outright violence or swinging out. We can change that. That's something we can control. We can control that. Now, we as human beings, all of us have different levels of motivation. But one thing we all have in common, we like to eat. We like to sleep. We got to go to bathroom, relieve ourselves every now and then. Is that right, 8112?
Well, yes, sir.
I mean, and, you know, don't we want to look good and feel good?
Yes, sir.
So what is it that helps? No, go ahead.
I said, and when you don't look good and don't feel good, most of us feel out of sorts because our body is out of tune.
Absolutely. So what I'm getting at by asking that question, 8112, is the fact that when we create the proper environment, the false of the growth and development. Now, I have heard people say, and I've done lectures on this, that the government won't allow us to whoop this. They say whoop our children. Well, what the law does not allow is abuse and neglect. But we have to know where the fine line is. We got to know where the fine line. Hold on, let me finish this up. We got to know where the fine line between disciplining a child physically and abusing them is.
Mm-hmm.
See, the key is the earlier you establish your voice of authority in your children's life, the less you got to physically put your hand on them. Let me say that one more time. The earlier you establish your voice of authority in your children's life, they learn to respect you and they learn to live for your validation.
You start from
see,
a
what
video.
Happens is too many people allow their children to grow up like wild weeds. They're not talking to them. They're not teaching them. They're not living a positive example before them. So when the children get up and start showing them what they did pick up and learn from everything and everybody else, then you throw it off. Then now you want to try to put your hands on them. That dog ain't going to run.
I told you a long time ago, I told my children, you don't do as I do. You do as I say. You don't do anything wrong when you know wrong from right. But I raised them up with love and tender care also. So the boys, I have five sons and still got four of them here. But they're respectable And they connect out, one or two of them connect out when they want to, but they still come back because their upbringing, as you're talking about, is still
right.
within their heart. They don't want to feel like babies anymore. Sometimes you got to let them fly from the nest and let a man be a man.
Right.
You told me that to a certain degree. Just from listening to you guys talk, that's what I'm saying. Kids, a lot of these young folks, they don't think they're kids now. They teenagers, and they trying to protect themselves in the streets, as you call it. They trying to protect themselves, but they're going about it the wrong way. You said you tied a two for two or how you placed it. I don't speak like everybody else, but I'm saying what I'm saying. I'm
two for one.
And I'm tired of it, too. It's hurtful, and it shouldn't go down like this, I don't think.
That's the world we're getting
in.
Understand something, 8112 and guys, listen. Understand this. What happens is it's a difference in your chronological development, in your social-emotional development. There are a whole lot of chronologically grown, fast 21-year-old people. I mean, musty and stanky. A whole lot of folk around here like that.
Okay, I'm listening.
But when it comes to their social and emotional maturity, they, even though you're 40 years old, you're operating on the mentality of a 15-year-old.
Okay.
Don't make me have to talk straight about. You won't know how you know when you got one of those. When you got an old great bro, I'm talking straight now. Y'all bear with me, okay?
Talk to me.
An old great grown musty rascal run around chasing teenagers wearing clothes.
Yeah.
Like you're going to play basketball or something.
Hey,
all day long.
Can't even hardly walk.
Huh?
I know some, Mama. I understand
you,
Pastor. I understand
you
where
you
come from.
I wouldn't want you for no man. Hey, listen to me. I'm not hating on the brother, okay?
I ain't hating on him either. I'm just telling you the truth.
Let me say this so won't nobody get me wrong. I'm not hating on you, but what I'm telling you is that you've got to grow up, brother. See? You've got to grow up because what you're doing is setting a bad example, and you are a deleterious influence on the real 15-year-old who need to grow up, too. If the blind lead the blind, both of them going to fall in the ditch.
Well, that's what usually happens because I done told some of they old tales the same thing you just saying on live.
When I was in Chicago, I was talking to some brothers in Inglewood, and that's a pretty rough area. And the guy said, "Yeah, I'm an OG, Pastor Walker.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an OG," he said. I said, "I hear you. Now that you said that you're OG and you made that disclaimer, this young cat want to be a young G. What's wrong with being a G, though? You see what I'm saying? The problem is being a G didn't get you nowhere. You still stuck right here in Inglewood right now because you're an old G. Don't mess up his life with that foolishness.
That's right. Looking like a crash dummy. That's how you look. Just like me running out there with skirt up to my Heine and their stripper boots on.
Wow.
I'm as cute as you. Them young girls got something on your butt. Now it's time for you to take back them and let them do what they do. I know what I do.
So, at 37-2 is with us. 37-2, she
hey,
don't want to take what her mama gave her.
Hey, baby, I can say what my mama gave me, but you know what it is like.
Let me just say, if
go
it's
ahead.
Shaking too much and it looked like cottage cheese back there, she probably
hamburger.
Don't want to shake
Lord,
it.
Lord, hamburger. Y'all keep it quick then.
Too many candles.
Come on, girl.
Well, Don Rick. Don Rick.
Yeah, I'm
here.
Don Rich, boy, man. No matter.
Don Rich, where am I going wrong, man? Help me out now.
All right.
Mr. Doctor, you know what's really tripping me out right now?
What's that, Don? Hold on 1 second, Don. Go ahead, Don Beverly.
Mr. Trump, y'all don't know this. Mr. Trump, no, I want the whole community to hear this. Mr. Trump done stole your program.
What?
Mr. Trump and Mr. Shelby done stole your show. Miss Boynton and my dad and them hooked up with Mr. LaRouche, and they did Silk Road. And Silk Road was about building the rail from Alaska through. Trump done took that over. And Mr. Shelby and them was in the meeting in Russia doing that. And I got to thinking, Mr. He kind of angered me because they have took it over. And then I had to sit back and think, Shelby went to Russia to work on Silk Road because Birmingham got a lot of steel. Even though he's a Southern Dixiecrat, playing like he's a Republican. See how people ain't woke up yet. Your forefather started the Republican Party. This is Mr. Dockery. On the, I think it's the 8th of this month here in Dallas County, they're getting ready to have the 200th birthday of Dallas County down in Cahaba. But down in Cahaba, at the original courthouse, our forefather started the Republican Party. Our forefather. In 1866.
Are you a Republican?
So we got to be clear Mr. Dockery, we got to be clear as a community what we really want to do. You see what I'm saying? Do we want to be a part of the drug culture, or do we want to be industrial? See, we got to make that clear in our minds. Is that what we want to do? Or do we want to buy a man's consumer product?
You asked him a question, sir. You asked him a question. Set up so he can hear.
Let him finish. Don, will you finish?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Mr. Dockery. Guess what?
Okay.
The sisters cannot bother me because I see them clear. Come on now.
All right, listen to this.
I was born without a father. You know what blows my mind with the sisters today? And look, I mean,
my dad wasn't in the house.
Reverend Bevel was not in the house with me. And you know what burns me up with African Americans? Why would you have a baby and just take off running with the baby? Where does that come from? That's where psychology come from.
But
guess what? A father loves his child just like a mother do.
Okay.
Don't ever forget that.
Right.
Don, that ain't my topic tonight. Don.
I know that Mr. Don, but it baffles me, man.
I get you, but I want you to come on back home with me, okay? Let's stay on topic. We ain't going to go there tonight. I ain't going to let you.
I know that.
Let's go
ahead, Mr. Doc.
All right. So hold on 1 second. This is what I'm going to do. Yes, sir.
Yeah. If I can just come in for just a second, if you don't mind. I'd like to say something. Okay. Look here. I'm watching what the Word of God is saying. And I'm thinking about, you know, how to do the thing that's required to what you suggested tonight, what it would take to stop the violence.
That's right. I know that
someone is holding someone captive real tight. Listen to what they said. It says here, thus said the Lord of hosts, the children of Israel and the children of Judah were oppressed together. And all that took them captive held them fast. They refused to let them go.
Okay.
In our community, being in captivity, and they refuse to let them go, that means that they got such a grip on them, they're not willing to let them go. But it's our job to do the will of God, because I hear the next thing it said the Redeemer is strong.
Right.
The Lord of hosts is his name. The Lord of hosts is his name. He shall thoroughly plead their cause, that he may give rest to the land and disquiet the inhabitants of Babylon. In other words, it can be done. If we carry out what he says and stop, you know, deviating from what the assignment is, which is to do all you can do to stop something. Just let me show you how something starts. If I start smoking marijuana, I pass it to my friend and they pass it to the next friend, and all of a sudden all of us out in the hood is smoking marijuana. That's because we got started. Now I'm going to come on up to speed. How to break that thing is coming into the knowledge of knowing what it's doing to our community and passing it all the way around to each other how to stop it. Could you imagine the power of being able to stop something that was started by the enemy, and then we found a solution and we stopped it?
Right.
We didn't break it off talking about and just slowed it down, we stopped that thing. Because one person at a time, you know, if 10 people is in a group and one stop, that's a victory right there.
There you go.
It don't take a one at a time to get it done. That's why heaven rejoiced over one sinner. He left 100 because it was one mission, and he left that 99 just to go get that one. So it all started with just one, man. I just submit to you right now that topic, how to stop the violence, man, I believe it can be done. Because they got them tight.
Right.
They're holding them captive right now, and they don't want to let them go. They refuse to let them go, is what the word said. So who's going to get it done?
I am, and you are.
You have a question.
That's what
we're
I'm talking about. So
we're going
yeah,
to
you got to have
hold,
faith,
hold
man,
your question.
And
hold your question for just a second. I was going to go to Brother Rich for a second.
Go ahead.
Now, right
this this
you,
question
okay.
is for him, too, if you don't mind. This question is for him, too.
Okay. All right, go ahead,
man,
then you come in. Then, yeah, hold on. Then you come in, Brother Rich, after you pose the question. All right, go ahead, Alcat.
He posed the question. Brother Rich, here's the question.
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Okay, there were two thieves on the cross. You had one on the left. You had one on the right. Brother Rich, what was their name? Brother Rich, and I'm coming down now. Dr. Waller, you stay out of this. Brother Rich, what was their name?
Yeah.
He had two thieves on the cross that were crucified with Jesus. One on the left, one on the right. Give me their names, please.
Listen to me. I am willing to give you an answer if you are willing to open up your mind.
I'm listening.
Right, you ready?
Answer.
Now, here we go. A lot of times, Bible scholars will ask someone something to try to throw the conversation off. But one of the things that should be asked.
Okay, let me shut up. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
When I hear a conversation like that, you know, because I'm not, I'll tell you off the rip. I don't know. But let me finish telling you this.
Go ahead.
That Europeans, once again, rewrote and misconstrued the Bible. Okay, that's for one. For two, in the United States, when the slaves were brought from Africa to America, we Christians, how to teach Negroes to be a Christian, was written by a slave master. That's number two. Number three, the Bible is very vital. Listen to me. The Bible is very vital. So every story in there has subliminal messages. My main thing is knowing that he hung on the cross, which is made out of wood, and here we have millions of years later, in my grandmother's decade, which God bless her soul, they still hung people on trees. Which is the same tree that they hung Jesus on the cross. Now here we are in today's time, and some of our children and men, as well as women, are still being hung. It's not about the name of the thief. It's about the action that is happening, and we refuse to do nothing.
Interesting. All right. I appreciate you responding to him. Hold on one second. I appreciate you responding to him, Brother Don Rich there. Outcast, when you speak, I want you to bring that back to quickly the topic of street violence, and then I'm going to give you the answer to your question. Go ahead, sir. Bring that back. When you speak, bring that back to the how
street
that relates
violence.
To two things on the cross. Yes, sir.
Okay, street violence. We cannot stop it, but we can slow it down. You, Reverend Waller, and I give Reverend Witch credit. We can't stop it. Only God can stop it, but we can slow it down. Now I'm gonna give you want to get answers to that question, or shall I?
I'm gonna give you
I'll
that.
Get answers to that I'm question.
Gonna give you. All right, go ahead.
I get answers to that question, right. Reverend Rich. See, when you, me, I dedicated myself to learning more about religion. In today's time, it's about the rich and it's about the poor. You had Dismas was on the right-hand side of Christ when he was crucified.
Right.
He was a poor man. He came from a poor family. You had Dismas. He was on the left. He came from a rich family. But Dismas,
Gestas,
they were cubs.
Okay.
It was Dismas and Gestas. Now, I'm going to go back to Reverend Waller. You know, when he would tell my people in the churches, come out. They've been sitting in these churches 20, 30, 40 years, and they can't even answer that question. Why? Because they did not go further to even seek more about God, seek more about religion. When they talk about Christ, when they lock Christ up, when they got him, you think he was crucified the next day? No. It took him over a year to crucify Christ.
All right.
And I'm going
to
shut
up. Now, you were supposed to tell us how to relate to street violence and stop it. Before you give me 1 second, tell me how that's related.
Only God.
Oh, you said, okay.
Men, us as human beings, we cannot stop it. All we can do is slow it down. Get one person, two persons, three persons.
Watch this. Let me tell you how white folks do it. Let me tell you how my white brothers and sisters do it. And this would lead me to believe I can. What white folk do, my white brothers and sisters, is they create laws and policies.
There you go.
Follow me. First, to teach the parents, then the children, and then the rest of the community to follow those laws and policies. Then they provide rewards for those who are in compliance. This is what's absent in these destructive neighborhoods and communities where you see this. And that's not everybody in the community that's doing it. But for those that do it, they're reacting to a trigger. That's what they're doing. Now, what I'm saying is God is going to use us to resolve our problem. God is not going to put food in your mouth and cause you to chew and digest. You got to do that yourself. Now, what God gave you are teeth, and God gave you a brain and a heart and gave you a nervous system, right? Gave you a tongue to taste and gave you hands to go get the food. You've got to put your work in. That's how God is going to do it. It's through us. That's the answer. That's the answer.
I agree.
Man, look at the time. Goodness gracious. Okay. 372, you hadn't said much today. What you got to say?
Oh, well, I tuned in late. I'm very sorry. I had family.
No, I realize you.
But so I was just going to echo what you said, and I agree with that. With all of those natural resources he gave us, we need to make the right choices. So with my body and my mind, I'm not going to infiltrate it, for one, with negative thoughts, spirits or actions. I'm not going to taint it by cracking out, you know, using crack cocaine or alcohol in myself to the point to where I can't function. And the hands that he give me, I'm going to use it to do honest, productive work so that I can continue to thrive and grow and feed myself and maybe help feed other people.
There you go. And the truth of the matter is, when you do that, I do that, and every member of my community, my neighborhood, my block, guess what? We will have a thriving community, and we ain't got to pay one another's throat with violence. The bottom line is the Word of God gives us a blueprint, Pastor Waller, for how we can go about doing it. I think that's the point you've been making. And if we're following the blueprint, if we're following the blueprint, we can have let this mind that is in me be also in you. How about that?
All right. Well,
how about
that's the word.
And y'all know that
that's
Matthew 1:21 said that she shall bring forth a son that'll save his people from their what? Their wicked ways, they sin. But listen, we got to get everybody out of here. Outcast, start us off, man. Give me a final thought, brother. Then I'm going to go to Don.
We got 5 minutes.
One thing I could say is Masai love wildebeest. They're traveling animals. They follow the scent of the rain. Lions stay in one place. Masai, 13-year-old, some younger. They fight them. Masai love Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Wildebeest, right. Weak animals. Masai love.
All right. All right. All right. We appreciate that contribution to the conversation, sir. All right. Brother Don, what you got, man? Give me a final thought in about 30 seconds, man.
Well, I'm going to say this to everyone. The same topic was on WVON today. The state senator's daughter's running for Senate here. Malika's running. And her sister was on, and they was discussing the same thing, stop the violence, because the young guys got to shooting out with the police down. And I was going to say this, Mr. Dockery. The same mechanism that they had in 65, they got the same mechanism. You know what I'm saying? It's like back in 65, they had Wallace and Smitherman and Clark meeting in private. Today they got Kay Ivey, Chief Collier, and Grantham. That's the mechanism. It's the same mechanism.
Okay.
So we have to study those mechanisms that they have set up and how to, like you say, like Pastor Wallace said, if we want to tilt the soil, that's on us. It's plenty of beautiful land outside of Nashville for us to do that and grow our food together. And I'm going to say this to every one of y'all, too. According to the intelligence information that I gathered, there ain't going to be no fresh water in North Mexico. So we better make up in our mind, are we ready to grow some food?
Okay. All right. Thank you, Don. I hate to cut you off, but we're on time here. We got to. Thank you, brother, for joining us here, man. Don Rich, give me a final thought, big brother.
I think, once again, thanks, ladies and gentlemen, for the teaching and preaching. Some teach, some preach. I think one of the things I want to leave everybody with is let's actually study or try to study the where religion, where we got our religion from, okay? Who taught us? Who didn't teach us? So, you know, a lot of our parents taught us. Who taught our parents?
Okay.
Who taught their parents'
parents?
Because we all came off of slavery. So that's all I have to say. I'm done with that answer.
All right. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. I hate to rush you, but we're losing time. Go ahead, 8112, right quick. Give me 30 seconds, 8112.
Okay, I feel like this. It's called the power of positive thinking.
Okay.
And you all be blessed, because I'm going to try to stay strong.
Thank you,
doctor.
Yeah. You know I love you, doctor.
Peanut butter loves jelly.
Go ahead, 3072. Give me a final thought.
I just wanted to say that I'm just so grateful for this show. I love the fact that we come in a loving spirit and that we're able to respect one another's differences.
Absolutely.
And I just pray that, man, this show continues and we can continue to grow in love.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Man. Thanks for joining. Pastor Wallace, you got the flow, man. Take us home.
Yeah. We encourage everyone. The Bible says, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season, even when it has style or when you think it don't have style. You know, the word of God says life and death is in the power of the tongue. So I just want you to know that if everybody just allow the Lord to do what he does best, do what he specializes, say the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Follow his order and watch strongholds be broke down in our community. Amen.
That'll preach right there. That'll preach right there. Join us for another episode of Talk Straight on next Tuesday, 7 o'clock p.m., right here on Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. That's Rick Wall, our host, and our guest that was with us tonight. Thank you all. Come back and join us again on next week as we bring another episode. This is your host again, Reuben Dockery, signing off for another episode of Talk Straight.